America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Let's go to the North Omaha Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He is the chief dude at HoopsWire.com. Put that in your title. Chief dude. He's Mr. Sam Amico. Hello, Samuel.
Hey, guys. Hi, how you doing? I'm happy to be chief dude. And, Jeff, you stole my line, the Raptors stink.
That is true, but it doesn't completely or really take away from everything the Cavs did last night, right?
Not at all. No. I think that, you know, regardless of who they were playing, the system that we kept hearing about at training camp from Kenny Atkinson in the preseason, that two things, you know, number one, we want to get Evan Mobley really involved, and they did that. And number two, we want to keep the ball moving and, you know, get production from 11 guys, and they did that as well. So it's never easy to do that on the road on the opener, in the opener. So the fact that the Cavs did that, regardless of who their opponent was, I thought was very promising.
Sam, can we see that Evan Mobley for 82 regular season games? I think everyone kind of liked that last night, the 25 points and the way he was shooting the ball.
On only 14 shots.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the plan. You know, I mean, that's all we've heard about. And the encouraging thing is they really have been going right to him. He seems very comfortable in this offense. You know, as before, it seemed like the last 3 years he was – we all knew Evan Mobley was really good. But his comfort level, sometimes things felt forced. He felt out of sorts. He wasn't as efficient with the basketball as they hoped he would be. And, you know, it's obviously one regular season game in the preseason, but all throughout that time, these last 2 weeks, he has really shown that. And the Cavs have really shown that, you know, his teammates have shown we're comfortable and confident with Evan Mobley becoming much more ball dominant this season. So can he do it through 82 games? Well, that's the idea.
If Evan Mobley has the ball, who doesn't? And is that person okay with that?
The answer is Donovan Mitchell, and he says he's just fine with it.
Okay.
You know, and I think we saw that last night. Look, Donovan Mitchell is still going to get his shots. Darius Garland's still going to get his shots. The way that this offense is structured, and we saw even guys like Caris LeVert, who was unbelievably efficient, hitting his first eight shots, and Ty Jerome coming in the game and scoring 14 points. None of this seemed forced. And that's the entire concept and the entire philosophy of Kenny Atkinson. You're all going to get your shots. You're all going to get your looks. And you're not going to have to force it because the ball's going to be moving, you know, and really, should be the idea behind every NBA team. But we did not see the ball stick very often against the Raptors. So, yeah, you know, Donovan Mitchell has said, I'll be taking less shots this year so Evan can get more. So let's go. You know, so I think that obviously early on, everything's sounding good and looking good.
How about with Darius Garland?
Yeah, look, I mean, not everybody's going to have 15, 20 points, right? I thought he did a good job at getting in the lane and creating for others. His own shot attempts really weren't there. Ideally, you would, you know, there's going to be nights where he's going to have to score more and produce more. But I thought both he and Ty Jerome did a fantastic job, and LeVert, too, of getting into the lane and creating for others and not, again, not forcing anything. So, yeah, you know, Darius Garland says the joy has returned for him, and I thought that that was evident. Got to stay out of trouble. I was surprised they left him in there with two fouls in the first quarter, but got to stay out of foul trouble. But, you know, look, that to me, there was you look at the big picture and it's like, okay, Darius Garland maybe not had a great game, but you know, everybody else did and he still did well enough. So I think it's just, you know, getting reps and getting used to this system.
Sam, get us up to speed on Max Strus and how much is Dean Wade are we going to see like we did last night? I mean, just settle in because that's the way it's going to be, or what do you think?
Yeah, I think Max Strus, you know, probably what they're saying is another 5 weeks or so before he's reevaluated. So who knows how that will go. How, you know, it's hard to predict how he'll heal, but I would suspect he'll be out till early December. Dean Wade seems like the natural fit among the other guys, you know, next to the quote-unquote core four, because number one, he's got size. Number two, he doesn't need the ball to make an impact. Number three, he's an outstanding defender. Did a lot of that last night, getting in the passing lanes and altering shots and that type of stuff. He does a real nice job on the wing. So, you know, Kenny Atkinson has said it's all going to be dependent on matchups. So it's probably going to be Dean Wade starting in place of Max Strus this entire time, but there may be times where he starts and plays 4 minutes of each half, depending on matchups. The Cavs really like the idea of having Caris LeVert come off the bench and provide the offense that he provided last night. So Wade's probably just a better fit in that starting lineup.
Sam Amico joining us, HoopsWire.com. Did it surprise you? Did you find it interesting? Whatever, tell me what you thought of it, that the Cavaliers basically brought back the team from last year intact, other than a change at head coach.
Yeah, I think that's always interesting. I mean, because you look across the NBA, there's only three teams who did that, who didn't sign anybody to a standard contract or make a trade, and one of them was the defending champion Boston Celtics, the other, of course, being the Lakers. So, you know, you look at that, that's a rarity in the NBA, especially in the Kobe Altman era. I mean, he's a mover and shaker. So the fact that you're talking about, okay, we've got just the same 11 guys that we ran last season back, it was very clear they felt like all we need is somebody to get this offense to another level, right? I mean, you were talking bottom 10 offensively last year for the most part, and top 10 defensively. So you needed to find somebody who could maximize these guys. And I mean, the whole reason Kenny Atkinson was hired, I don't want to say the whole reason, but a major reason he was hired is get Evan Mobley to that all-star level. And that's, you know, the Cavs felt like there's a lot to be said for continuity and familiarity. As long as our guys like Evan Mobley and Darius Garland could come off his rocky season and get that to another level, that's really why you made the change. So, you know, it was surprising, yes, but at the same time, there was no move out there to be made that would have benefited them.
Sam Amico joining us from HoopsWire.com. The fact that the Cavs aren't a real big team size-wise, does that do anything? There's only one guy on the team who's over 6'9". And that guy is Evan Mobley. Anything?
Yeah, I mean, that could always be a little bit of a concern. Interestingly, now they're one of the bigger teams because you have Dean Wade in the starting lineup.
Who is one of the guys who is 6'9".
Right. I don't think it's a huge deal because, honestly, guys, you're talking probably the best defensive front court in the NBA now that Karl Anthony Towns is in, you know, no longer in Minnesota next to Rudy Gobert.
Rudy, yeah.
So, you know, Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, most teams would kill to have two rim protectors like that. And that's really, you know, when you talk about the Cavs being a top 10 defensive team, those two guys are the reason. So it's not really so much about their actual height is can you protect the basket? The Cavs have two guys who can do that really, really well. And I don't think it impacts them offensively as long as the ball is moving. We've seen Jared Allen. I mean, he needs seven shots tops to get, you know, 15, 16 points, and he's a double-double machine. So he doesn't really need the basketball. But I, you know, with the game becoming more perimeter-oriented, I don't think the size is such a big deal.
JB Bickerstaff coming in on Friday. I'm sure that he probably was thought at most points of the season last year he'd be here for the home opener. Well, he is. Congratulations on
that.
The only problem is he's on the south bench instead of the north bench. So, your thoughts on this game Friday? It wasn't a burn.
No, I didn't say it was a burn. I just thought, wow, that was a little harsh.
But I wasn't trying to be harsh.
No, just, not harsh on JB. It was just a harsh factual comment on your part.
This is how we live, Sam. This is how we live. Your thoughts on this game? And, you know, I got to feel like he probably thinks, well, everyone's pointing the finger at me because I'm the only thing that's changed.
Yeah, you're probably right about that, Andy. I mean, it really is. That's the one thing that they changed, the coaching staff. And it's very interesting, yes, that he's coming to town for the Cavs opener, which is going to be, you know, it'll be interesting from a coverage standpoint. I'll tell you this, JB Bickerstaff, I've been doing this since, 2007 or 8 now, full time. The most awesome guy I've covered. I mean, you could ask JB Bickerstaff anything, you know, and he would just be polite, professional, give you a good answer. Be personable, just a wonderful, wonderful person, and I think a pretty decent coach, and I think he's going to be really good for this Pistons team, which, by the way, blew an 8-point lead at home last night to the Pacers and ended up losing, but I just think he's the kind of guy, you know, we saw it in Cleveland, where he's the kind of guy who can get a so-so team to a better level. You know, we saw that in Cleveland. So
sure.
I think that he's going to be good there, and I think that I'm sure he'll receive a nice warm reception. I would hope anyway. But you know, look at the Cavs. This is a great opportunity to start the season fast because the next night you got the Washington Wizards. You're starting the season with three teams that aren't supposed to make the playoffs. You know, so in the NBA today, guys. Every game counts now because the races are going to be so close at the end of the year. You can't afford to lose to the Detroit Pistons in October when you have them at home. So it'd just be a good night to see the Cavs at home for everybody who didn't get a chance to watch them last night and you know, see what this new season is all about and hopefully give JB a warm reception.
Sam, I've seen many national predictions about the Eastern Conference. I've seen the Cavaliers listed as number 2 in the East by a couple of folks. I've seen them mainly falling in the 4-5 range with most folks and some as low as like 6. Where do you think the Cavs fit in the Eastern Conference?
I've been picking them all year at 4, which isn't very bold, or I should say all offseason at 4, because that's where they finished each of the last 2 years. But, you know, to me, after Boston, anybody could finish in that second spot. I mean, New York went out and got Carl Anthony Towns, Mikal Bridges. The Sixers, we obviously know, with Joel Embiid, Paul George, Tyrese Maxey. But then, you know, who knows? Maybe the Milwaukee Bucks get it together with Giannis and Damian Lillard. The Orlando Magic clearly on the rise, went into Miami last night and blew them out. You know, and I still think Miami's going to be in the mix. The Indiana Pacers went to the Eastern Conference Finals last season. I'm sure there's somebody else in there I'm missing. But, you know, you look at that. That's why I say every game matters in the NBA this season, even in, you know, in both conferences, but especially in the East. I think the Cavs, you know, could they finish second in the East? Yes. And I've said this before. They could finish second in the East. They could finish sixth. And neither would surprise me. But six, I think, would be obviously disappointment after finishing fourth in each of the last 2 years. So the long-winded answer to your question there, Jeff, is fourth in the Eastern Conference, potentially second or third.
Okay. That seems like about a fit to me. That seems to be where that is. Sammy, thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Sam.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. We will talk to you soon.
Hoopswire.com, where you can read all of Sam's coverage. Hoopswire.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
.com. I want to do a little deeper dive on the Cavs here and take a look at what they've put together. I mentioned to Sam, 14 of the 17 players of the guys on their roster right now, and you're allowed to have a couple of two-way guys and everything else, so there are 17 players. 14 of them were with the team last year. The new guys are JT Thor, Jalen Tyson, and Luke Travers, who's a draft choice out of Australia a couple of years back. Jalen Tyson, this year's first-round pick, who I think could be really interesting here because he brings a skill set to that small forward spot that I think is really pretty good. I think one thing, the biggest task maybe facing Kenny Atkinson is growth. And as Sam pointed out, Evan Mobley, the key guy there. It's a big part of the reason Kenny Atkinson was brought in. I couldn't agree with him more. To me, it might be the most important thing. And I gave you the numbers. They've been flat since he's come into the league. That flat's not bad. Flat's pretty good. But flat is flat, and when you have a guy who you think is as talented as Evan, who you took with the third pick in the draft, you want more than basically 15 points a game, and you want more than 12 shots per game. And that's basically what he's averaged in each of his three seasons, Dan.
So what really stood out in that game was the fact that they really were putting the ball in his hands and letting him operate from not only the top of the key, but from the elbow as well. They really
and create a little of his own offense.
Exactly. Yeah. They wanted him to be a focal point in what they were doing on the offensive side and even bringing the ball up the floor, which the first time he did it was a little like, okay, buddy, let's settle it down here a smidge.
Yeah. He did and that then just, it got better. Just a touch last year with JB.
Well, he's
just the touch.
Definitely did it more. And again, it's one game, so you take it with a grain of salt.
And they had it well under control.
Yeah, he was doing that a good amount in this one. It was real impressive.
The one thing I wonder about, and clearly Evan is the man that, okay, let's see what Kenny Atkinson's presence does to Evan Mobley. There are two other guys I think are critical in this too. And one is Darius Garland. I've mentioned Darius. His numbers were down last season in most of the key categories. Scoring, assists, field goal percentage, three-point percentage were all down. He did have the eye issue, if you remember, and had some other injury things. But Darius's scoring, assists, field goal percentage, three-point percentage, all down last season from previous years. And scoring isn't the only or the best indicator of what kind of a player you are. And I hope that Darius can play point guard and be content being the point guard, which doesn't mean you're not getting your points. You know, you're still going to be able to score. And Dan and I had talked about this in the commercial break. And Andy, I think he can, and I think he could actually be better if he kind of has more of a point guard mentality than a scoring guard mentality. And not saying that he didn't have the point guard mentality in the past. But I think if you really focus on that with this team, because if you can develop Evan as the scoring threat you hope that he can become, you don't want him competing with both Donovan and Darius for shots.
No, it isn't the task here for Kenny to give these guys the role that's going to be most beneficial? Because it wasn't last year. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, start with Evan, as you guys were just talking about a second. It's about him being aggressive. Now, you can say whatever you want about Toronto. There was a little pep in his step last night. His ability got hot, started shooting, went to the basket, ended up with big rebounds last night. That's the kind of Evan Mobley I think we want to see. And if you can draw up this Darius Garland that you want to see, the way, Jeff, you just explained it, now, all of a sudden, you're looking at that, and you're like, well, then we can just go to the big guy when we need points. And it's just more role-defining, I think. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like a better game plan than, okay, who's going to be the leading scorer tonight? Because there were a lot of times I would watch last year, and I'm like, okay, we're going to watch 4-on-5. Because that's what I felt like. Because, you know, when Darius would get the ball, okay, then he was the superstar. Or Donovan was trying to be the contract itself. And the way you look at the way this roster is constructed, Donovan needs to be that guy, right? But Mobley also needs to be the other guy. And Darius has the opportunity to be the man that makes it happen for both those guys. I think when I watch, but it needs to be more streamlined, and hopefully what we saw last night is where we're going to get. But you're not going to be up 30 on most teams in the NBA
I think,
on any given night.
I think really good NBA teams, Andy, have three really good, at least three, but three really good offensive options. And that doesn't necessarily just mean scoring. You know, it means three really good offensive players. And I think Evan Mobley has been a pretty good offensive player. And if you can get him up to, you know, really good offensive player and keep Darius as a really good offensive player and happy in just a tweaked role, I think that might be critical. One other guy I wonder about, they love Isaac Okoro. They brought him back, but he was out there a long time as a restricted free agent. Finally did bring him back. I wonder if there's more offense there for Isaac. He's a shot a career-high 39% on threes last year, which is better. But one reason you shoot well on threes sometimes in the NBA is if the other team doesn't respect your three and leaves you alone. And in the postseason, he shot just over 25% on threes. So, you know, if you're a really good three-point shooter, you hit your threes, regardless of, you know, when it is. I wonder if they can bring Isaac along. His scoring average last season was 9.4, which was his best since his rookie year when it was 9.6. So we've not really seen the growth there, though he's added a three-point element a little bit. And I don't think it's as big of an element as most folks seem to think it is with Isaac Okoro. I think if he can grow his offensive game in Kenny Atkinson's system, I think that would help the team as well because he's going to get some minutes. Kevin is in Cuyahoga Falls. Kevin?
Hey, Kev.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Good, good, good.
Fantastic. I win last night. I tell you that. First game of the season, so I don't want to get too crazy about it, but boy, it was awesome. Throw a few numbers at you guys. Assist for the Cavs, 29. Toronto had 25. Blocks, 9 for the Cavs, 6 for Toronto. Last year, we averaged 37 three-pointers. Last night, we only shot 30, which led to the biggest number of all, points in the paint. Us was 68, Toronto was 38. This is the offense, as you guys know, I've been screaming since last year. You got two big guys. You got lanes open. Pound them in the paint. This persistence last year of constantly jacking threes up drove me crazy over and over again. So, yeah, the three-point has a good part of the game, no doubt about it. It can be very helpful. But, man, when you got this roster – take advantage of that open, just pound them in the paint. Nothing better than watching Mobley and Allen just dunking it over these guys. I mean, that was so fun to watch. Now, again, first game, I don't want to get too crazy, but if this is the direction the team is going, I think that is a major direction in the positive way for this team, and I think we can be a extremely difficult team to beat if this is what the focus is going to be for us moving forward.
Kevin, thank you very much. Another guy, there are two guys, Andy, I think, who are really interesting who – If they become something here, might really change some people's thoughts on things. Hmm. One is Ty Jerome, who played last night and was really good. Now, again, you know, he played 19 minutes. The game was out of hand. He came in, had 14 points and 6 assists in his 19 minutes. You're not going to get that every night out of him. You're not going to give him the opportunity probably to get that most nights. But one thing to keep in mind about him, he played the Golden State Warriors when Kenny Atkinson was an assistant coach there.
Right.
So Kenny knows him a little bit, and Ty was here last year but didn't play. He was out with injury all season, played in only 2 games. But he played 45 the year before with Golden State when Atkinson was there and was okay in 18 minutes a game, just under 7 points with 3 assists per game. If you can get some good backup help at point guard, and he's a true point guard at 6'5", that could be really nice. And I mentioned Jalen Tyson, who is their first-round draft choice, and wing player, 6'6". Maybe this is just me. I don't like the fact that he played at 3 different colleges in 3 years.
No, that's you might as well get over that now.
Yeah, I know.
That
seems to be the norm. But he was really good the last time out, and at 6'6", he can do a lot of things. And I hope he can become a guy who can fill what still looks like a pretty major hole at small forward. You know, Caris LeVert will get some of those minutes. I think Caris is mainly a 2 guard, but Caris can play out on the wing. Isaac Okoro, I'm hoping Jalen Tyson can take some of those minutes. because I think Jalen brings more to the offensive side of the game than Isaac does. And I think that could be a huge help.
Jalen also, you going back to that playing for three different colleges thing, I mean, they were all good schools. It wasn't like...
No, I know. It's just weird to me.
You know, it's not like he had to prove himself early on. I mean, you're at Texas, then you're at Texas Tech, and then you're at Cal, so...
Yeah, I know.
Maybe his family moved. I don't know. Maybe.
I don't think so.
Maybe they wanted to move around a little bit.
Thomas is in Shaker. Thomas, welcome.
Hey, Jeff. I always love talking basketball hoops with you. You do such a great job with it.
Thanks, Thomas.
So,
Andy's good, too.
I used to be. Back when I had the job.
You're amazing.
Yeah, I'll be along for the ride, Thomas. Keep going. All good. I'll be Barney in the back seat on this. So let's go, Flintstones. Get your feet moving. Go ahead.
Anyway, I really enjoyed watching Evan Mobley last night. It felt like ever since Game 2 of the Celtics series, Evan Mobley really found himself. And it just felt like when you watch him play, that was a consistent thing of him scoring 19 points in the first half, and him just – he looks bigger, he looks faster, he looks more like a man. It's year four. This is the year that he's supposed to take off. Now, as far as Darius Garland go, it just – I mean, I have a lot of love and respect for Darius Garland. He's a great player. It just doesn't feel like he fits. And as soon as somebody becomes available for trade, a small forward, I think the Cavs have to jump on it and figure out a way to trade Darius Garland for a possible wing in the future. Because it just, I don't think Darius Garland fits. I think that it's going to stunt the growth of the team if we do not find a good small forward. That's just me. Thank you, sir.
Thomas, that's interesting. Maybe Tyson becomes that guy. But I don't think you need to, have to, want to trade Darius Garland. The only thing, you know, after a 30-point win last night, Andy, that's a big deal. But if by chance this doesn't go the way you want it to in the first couple of months of the season, after changing head coaches and bringing in an offensive-minded coach, and the offense doesn't look, if by chance it doesn't look quite like you want it to, I think Darius is the obvious piece to move. Because if you put a different point guard next to Donovan Mitchell, who maybe you would get in a trade, or if you put a different small forward out on the floor, other than Max Strus when he's healthy, and Max is going to be out for a while. I mean, if anything needs to happen on this team, I think Darius is the trade piece. We'll see if they feel that needs to happen. The ideal world is you figure it out with Darius and Donovan and Evan and make it really sing offensively. That's ideal for the Cavs. They're all under contract, and they're all young. And they're all good.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.